What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Bold predictions, everybody's favorite show of the year. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today on Wednesday, September 2nd. It is Draft-a-thon day. We hope to see you all tonight. More on that a little bit later. But right now, we're going to give you some bold predictions. We're going to give you the Alvin Kamara news. We're going to give you some Leonard Fournette landing spots, destinations. We're going to read your emails and your tweets. And we're going to talk about how to draft in different formats. We are actually doing a half PPR draft right now, the best format. We'll 14 teams, 12 teams, 10 teams, Superflex, PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown, 6 point, this and that. Who wants to kick off the show with a bold prediction?
I'll go.
All right, Jamie.
I don't want to have a repeat of what happened before we started. The Cleveland Browns will have the 8th duo of players to rush for 1,000 yards when Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt do it in 2020.
That is a very bold prediction. The last duo to do it. Yes.
Not to go very far.
Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow. All right. Show's over, folks. Going out on a high note. All right. I like that bold prediction.
Okay. You know, it's funny because I actually have it ranked where they're going to go for 1,000 yards, so I'm excited about that.
Okay. Good for you. That's how it should be.
No. Look, we're making inside jokes here. These bold predictions don't have to be reflected in rankings. They are for fun. Let's just have fun, talk some fantasy football here. All right. So actually, you know, I was doing this. We're doing this half PPR draft. I was pretty surprised at where Heath had Kareem Hunt. Heath had Kareem Hunt like head of Todd Gurley. Is that right?
That sounds right. See, that's difficult because these are full PPR rankings.
Okay.
Because we don't have. Right. So, yes. But yeah.
All right. So Heath, give me a bold prediction.
Preston Williams will outperform 2020 Devontae Parker and 2019 Devontae Parker as the number one wide receiver of the Miami Dolphins.
That's pretty good. 2019 Devontae Parker wasn't he like top 10?
He was 70 catches for 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns.
You think Preston Williams
top 15
better than that? Okay.
Well, I mean, he is better than Devontae Parker. As a rookie, he was outperforming him until he got hurt. So I don't know why he wouldn't be better than him this year.
All right. Dave, what's a bold prediction you'd like to share with the group?
5 tight ends will have at least 800 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns.
Wow.
Whoa.
You know 4 of them. The 5th one will be Tyler Higbee.
Whoa, man. So in reality, the top 4 tight end, what did you say? 800 yards and 9 touchdowns?
At least.
The 9 touchdowns is the hard part. Because Kittle's like 5 touchdowns.
I like it a lot. That's super bold. Have we ever had a year where 4 tight ends did that?
Nope. This would probably be the first one.
That's exciting.
We're going to go to 5.
All right. Okay, cool. Good start. Let's talk about Alvin Kamara here. We have a great excuse to talk about Alvin Kamara. And it's this email from Andy in New York. Real quick, though, I want to talk about the draft-a-thon. The draft-a-thon is tonight. I'm going to ask Jamie to talk about HQ just because I am on the clock in this half PPR league and you probably want me to make a pick. So, Jamie, tell us 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on HQ.
Yes, we will be doing the start of our Draftathon mock draft review, which is awesome. You're going to hear from a lot of different analysts throughout the night, but we're going to start the draft, and a lot of them were in this draft. We're going to start the draft coverage in the first 2 hours. We're going to be joined by a patient who, you know, a child who went through the St. Jude program and you know, seems to be doing okay. You know, I'm going to talk to him. He's a big Bills fan. I think he's going to join us at some point on Twitch later in the season. So hopefully he's going to accept that invitation live on the air. We're going to talk to a couple of the best handicappers that we have to give you some player props and how that relates to fantasy. So we're going to have some fun with that. And myself, Dave, and Heath, similar to the show we did, Adam, a few weeks ago, I'm going to give you some draft tips. So for those of you that are having your draft this weekend, I think it'll be some helpful conversation there. So draft review, some sleepers, breakouts, and busts. You know, part of what should be a fun night.
Awesome. And then that's 6 to 8 p.m. on CBS Sports HQ. Download the CBS Sports HQ app. If you have the regular CBS app, CBS Sports app, you can watch there. But, you know, I've got HQ, the app on my Roku, for example, and just watch it on TV from 6 to 8. From 8 p.m., really 7:45 p.m. until midnight, twitch.com/FFToday. The other thing I want to tell you about is Friday, we'll have a mailbag. I think we're having Chris Harris on as well. But we're going to do some emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, and your Apple Podcast questions. So if you'd be kind enough to leave us a 5-star review and ask us a question on Apple Podcasts or on iTunes, we're going to read those on the air. So here's our excuse to talk about Alvin Kamara. Andy in New York writes this email, $100 donation to St. Jude if you address this on the podcast. In order to quell trade rumors, Kamara said he was recovering from a back epidural and will join the team on Wednesday. Should Kamara drafters be worried about this level of pain management at this stage of the season? And I can confirm Andy did make a $100 donation. So thank you so much to Andy. All right, let's talk about Alvin Kamara. Epidural in his back. A little unusual to see that, I guess, from an NFL running back. What are your levels of concern here?
I actually reached out to two friends of mine who are doctors. One of them is an anesthesiologist. And both of them said that this is just, it shouldn't be that serious of an issue. Kamara's probably dealing with some back pain, and he's just taking a shot to not have any pain for the next 9 months.
Can we talk about the anesthesiologist thing?
No.
No. Oh, fine. All right, fine. Okay, so is anybody concerned enough to say he should not be a top four pick?
I mean, I had the fourth pick in this draft that you're referencing, and I took him at four without hesitation. I wasn't planning on targeting Latavius Murray, but in round eight, he was the best player on the board, so I took Latavius Murray. So, you know, I feel a little bit more secure about that, but I'm not worried about Kamara at four. I think if you are, you take Dalvin Cook, and, you know, you deal with that risk, but or you go the safe route and take Michael Thomas in PPR or even half PPR. But if you're going to take a running back, I think still Kamara has the highest ceiling.
Okay. And anything to add, Heath, or shall we move on?
Shall.
All right, we shall move on. We shall tell you about something that's totally awesome, completely free, and will save you money. We all shop online. We've all seen that promo code field that taunts us at checkout. Thanks to Honey, though, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one that it finds to your cart. You don't have to lift a finger to save money. You just go to joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. Then you install it, which takes just a few seconds. And then what happens after that? You save money when you shop, okay? So you go to your favorite websites, you buy clothes, you buy sports memorabilia, maybe that was the case for me, pet food all the time for me, other food items, takeout, whatever it is. And then at checkout, Honey pops up, looks for coupons, applies the best promo code, and saves you money. And it supports over 30,000 stores online. So like I said, I saved 10% on sports memorabilia. I saved, about $5 or so on takeout recently. I bought headphones. These ones I'm wearing here, I saved like a few bucks on those. It doesn't have to be a huge savings every time, but it's, why not? Why not save money, right? And there's no effort. It's just a great way and a quick way to save a few bucks. So give it a try, right? If you don't have Honey already, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free. It installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and you'll be supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/FFT. Joinhoney.com/FFT. We have more news and notes. Any inkling on where Leonard Fournette might be going?
I saw something on Twitter that the Bills and Patriots are kicking the tires on him.
I did see that the Patriots sort of denied their interest.
Yeah.
For what that's worth.
Would be so hysterical.
Yeah, I'm.
I mean, look, you got Sony Michel banged up. Damien Harris has missed 2 days of practice. You know, Rex Burkhead, we know, is not a featured guy. So I think it's smart for a team to bring him in. I mean, look, he's going to cost you nothing.
Well, Jamie, as we sit here on Wednesday afternoon, is there any player that you are hesitant to draft because you think Leonard Fournette's going to screw things up?
I mean, I guess the one that would probably make me nervous, just because, and it's not just Fournette, it's also, you know, Devontae Freeman, is Miles Sanders, just because their backfield depth is so poor behind the top two guys. Right. So you have two players that are just, you know, coming off of heavy workloads. And in Fournette's case, you know, a top former top five overall pick in the NFL draft. Why wouldn't you bring him in? Like, why wouldn't you try and see if there's something there? If his mindset's right and he, you know, can come in understanding that he's not going to be their featured guy, that's how teams win. You know, so I don't think he's going to come in and ruin a locker room. I know there's been some history in Jacksonville, but, you know, he's been humbled clearly. So I think there's an opportunity for him to sort of resurrect himself in the right spot. And, you know, any team that has a winning culture should try and see if they, you know, at least bring him in for a workout and see what he has.
Heath, you haven't spoken in a while. I'm going to give you the next few news items. Here we go. AJ Green, as of yesterday, was still limited with a hamstring injury.
That's not great. I still think, like, it's hard for me to move him too much because there are very few players behind him who I could make the argument have more upside. But he is a mid-range number three wide receiver. It's really a boomer bust guy. And I'd really like to feel good about my top two receivers if I'm going to draft him.
Does anybody have Boyd ahead of him? Maybe you both do. I don't know.
No.
I think I just moved them today and I have them back to back. I think in PPR, I did put Boyd one spot higher.
Yeah. Nope. I mean, I fight with it all the time. I have Green to have them. They're back to back for me too. And I have Green ahead just on the upside. Cause you know what he's done. You know what he could potentially do.
If Green is right, he's going to destroy Boyd.
Yeah.
Would you all take Marquise Brown over AJ Green?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you take Will Fuller over AJ Green?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay. Let's see. Bruce Arians said he'll play it by ear when asked about Rob Gronkowski's week one snaps.
This is just getting worse and worse, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember that, like, when he was signed, we were all like kind of excited about Gronk. We didn't put him in the top five or anything, but like, I feel like camp has just not gone his way.
Yeah. So, yeah, do you think, though, that it could end up being kind of an overreaction? Like, maybe he doesn't need to play that many snaps if he's in there on the red zone and it's just, like, getting, I don't know, the high-value targets, which I know is more of a running back term.
The thing is, he's, like, sixth or seventh at tight end in our ADP, and he has a late sixth-round ADP. So, like, we've been saying, if you draft him as a low-end starter, well, there's nothing certain with any of the low-end starters. So I think that's fine, and you might be right. He might work in that regard. Just people need to make sure that they're not drafting based on his name as a, like, surefire starter.
That's the problem, 100%.
Do you remember what happened last night in the podcast league draft?
No.
Right before I drafted Rob Gronkowski?
You lost Noah Fant.
I did, and then I lost my mind, and I used a lot of four-letter words. Well, the same one, just over and over again. I did not want to have to go to Rob Gronkowski. Green Bay rookie linebacker.
But who else was available, though?
Not Noah Fant. TJ Hockenson.
We took Herndon late. I would take Herndon over Gronk.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, who would do that? Who would take Herndon over Gronk?
Not me.
I would not, but they're in the, like, the exact same. I wouldn't have a preference. I'd just wait another round and take the one that was left.
Okay. Let's see. So Green Bay potential starting linebacker, Kamal Martin, is out at least 6 weeks with a torn meniscus. Jason Peters is not going to play left tackle for the Eagles. Doug Peterson said Peters has been great at right guard, which might be true or might just be their way of painting a brighter picture because Peters reportedly wanted more money to play left tackle. Safety Will Parks for the Eagles. He's out multiple weeks with a hamstring injury. Here's what Anthony Lynn said about quarterback Tyrod Taylor. Quote, right now, Tyrod Taylor is our starter. Until someone steps up and shows that they can run this team, that's the way we're going into it. Tyrod Taylor is our starter. Jamie, what's your interpretation of that?
Let's go, baby. I mean, he's going to give them their best chance to win. I don't know if you've been watching Hard Knocks. I didn't get all the way through the episode on Tuesday night, but the part that I saw with Justin Herbert was, and Anthony Lynn, I think he's refreshing because I do think he's a pretty honest and forthcoming coach. And he was saying, you know, we're trying to make him uncomfortable. He's struggling right now, but it's how he comes through that is what we want to see, you know? And so they've been throwing different packages at him and, you know, he's not going to face a pass rush as good as what he's facing.
Talking about Taylor or?
I'm talking about Herbert. So Herbert's just not ready. And so, you know, why would you put him out there if he's not ready? So this is what we expected. We expected it to be Tyrod from the start, and how far he goes is going to determine how good of a fantasy quarterback he is. I think I told you this, that, you know, Pete Prisco told me while you drink your water.
I just drank.
I know. I was anticipating.
Nice.
That Pete spoke to somebody in the Chargers organization and said that they're running a lot of Baltimore packages. So we could see, you know, pretty hefty rushing total for Tyrod. And, you know, given what just happened to them with Mike Williams going down and who knows how long he's going to be out, like, why wouldn't you want to try and feature that? And the only thing for me that I took away from it from a maybe rankings adjustment is if that's the case, Hunter Henry could be an absolute monster in this system if that's the type of packages they're going to run, because again, Williams down, Keenan Allen, I think he's going to be okay. I don't remember which version of the show we're doing, but if the bold prediction of Keenan Allen, that was the previous one. Mm-hmm. In any event, I think we could see a scenario here of Allen being good, not great, but Hunter Henry really benefiting if that's the case. And Dave, you got auto picked if you want to back it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure which high-end quarterback has a tough week one matchup. I don't know if it really exists, but Tyrod Taylor could be, you know, against the Bengals, could be great. And he rushed for 600 yards two straight seasons in Buffalo. So this guy in a 4 point per passing touchdown league on a per game basis in both 2015 and 16, I have him as top 10, 8th and 9th per game in 4 point, 13th and 14th per game in 6 point. So keep it in mind.
It's not just week one. He goes Bengals, Chiefs, Panthers. He's probably a top 10 quarterback after 3 weeks.
Mm, wow. All right, let's get through the rest of the news and notes here, and then we'll talk about how to draft in different formats. Chris Herndon and Denzel Mims returned to practice for the Jets. Van Jefferson is expected to be the Rams' number 3 wide receiver.
I'm so fascinated by what the Rams are going to do because,
yeah,
like, I know Dave's all in on Tyler Higbee, and I get it. But it's, you know, I spoke to Jordan Rodriguez of The Athletic, and she's fantastic if you're looking for Rams coverage. She, you know, sprinkles in some fantasy talk whenever she gets an opportunity to in her writing. And, you know, she said that it's going to be, you know, that third person, tight end, receiver, whoever it's going to be, Jefferson or Higbee, has a chance to be really special. And they are doing everything they can to get Jefferson ready. They're lining him up in practice purposely opposite Jalen Ramsey and making him work against Ramsey as much as possible. And now Cooper Kupp has been banged up with this ankle injury, so he's getting a ton of reps. He's legit. And I know we had some question at the beginning of the draft, following the NFL draft, is it going to be Van Jefferson or Josh Reynolds? That's not a case anymore. Jefferson is clearly the guy. You know, there's an opportunity there without Brandon Cooks. So if Jefferson is legit, Higbee's going to have a hard time reaching his ceiling. And if Higbee is as good as he was last year, it's going to be hard for Jefferson to maybe have this rookie, you know, performance that maybe some people are hoping for. But I think he's an absolute late round flyer. Like, I took him, Todd is the person I share the podcast league team with. We took him with our last pick in a 14 team draft. I was happy to get him in that type of format.
Do you think they're rushing him because Kupp's injury is worse than they're saying?
No, I think, you know, McVay's addressed it time and time again, and I don't think it's serious. So did Kupp. So I don't think it's
okay. Well, I hope not.
Robert Tonyan expected to begin the season ahead of Jay Sternberger as Green Bay's pass catching tight end, according to The Athletic. Not necessarily fantasy relevant, but in dynasty leagues, not good for Sternberger. Kenyon Drake close to returning to full practice, and Tyrell Williams is out for the season. Heath, does that benefit anyone in particular on the Raiders?
I mean, it benefits everyone to a small degree. I think that like the most fantasy relevant pass catcher is still going to be Darren Waller. And this is one less person that he has to beat out to get over 100 targets again. I think he has a pretty good shot at doing that. Not quite as many as he had last year. Ruggs is the only wide receiver I'm really drafting in the first 12 to 13 rounds. But this, and Jamie said this on HQ today, like this means Bryan Edwards is almost certainly going to be a starter. So That's good for him. I just don't like somebody that's pigeonholed into the outside big receiver role with Derek Carr. You pretty much have to do what Tyrell did last year, which was catch a touchdown every game with 50 yards to be relevant.
He was not a big target getter. He never had more than seven. The last 4 weeks of the season, Williams had either three or four targets, something like that each week. So not like a big vacancy of targets here. All right, let's get into it. Before we talk about the formats, a big shout out to Rob Mack from Michigan. Rob wanted to enter our podcast league. His submission came, though, after we did the day of the draft, basically, so I didn't get him in. But Rob works for the public health department. He wanted to give a shout out to his colleagues. They're working really hard on the public health side of COVID, and I want to give a shout out to them as well, and just a thank you to everyone. And he says they've been working 7 days a week, night and day, since COVID started, to keep pressing on. That's his colleagues in the public health departments around the world. So thank you to everybody out there, whether you're in the public health department, whether you're in a hospital, whether you're a first responder, whatever it is, we thank you so much for everything you've done. It's been a very trying year. Our email of the day comes from Nick in Chicago. Can you guys do half PPR rankings or highlight a list of players and where they rank in half PPR? Like, where's Austin Eckler in half PPR? I'm drafting him 12th. So does he go before that in half PPR? So basically, let's start new formats, different formats that we don't always talk about. And how does your strategy change in half PPR? And who are some players whose value changes quite a bit? If people are drafting on CBS, they won't get half PPR rankings. What do they need to know, Dave?
I think they need to know that, I mean, it is what it is. You're not getting the full point for a catch like you would for a full PPR league. So certain players that are more volume based, whether we're talking about running backs like James White and Tariq Cohen or wide receivers like Jarvis Landry and Julian Edelman, they're not going to be as valuable. And I definitely sometimes find myself going back and forth between my non PPR rankings and my full PPR rankings when I'm doing a half PPR draft. I almost think, and I've said the opposite before, so maybe I'm not the best person to ask about this, but maybe we're at a point now where non-PPR rankings are probably the better way to go when you're drafting in a half PPR league, because now we're not overvaluing those players that are, you know, expected to get a ton of catches but not a ton of yards and touchdowns.
Anyone want to follow up on that? Are you more likely to go running back in half PPR than you are in full PPR? Because I think certainly in non-PPR, you're more likely to take two running backs early. What about in half PPR, Heath?
The main thing for me is I feel like Tariq Cohen, James White, probably Gibson as well, if he could get to their level. Like those type of guys, I don't draft in non-PPR. And I think they're undervalued in full PPR. And I just feel a little wishy-washy. Like those are the guys that I feel like lose the most going from PPR to half PPR.
Jamie? Dave? Yeah, sorry.
I was just going to follow up with Heath. How do you feel about guys like the receivers I mentioned, like Landry and Edelman?
Yeah, I mean, similar.
Right.
Okay.
I don't value those guys as much, clearly, as I would in PPR. I think that's probably obvious. But I would, to your point, Adam, I would lean still more toward the running backs than receivers if it's close. So unless you're talking about, like, Jameson Crowder, obviously, is another guy that, you know, benefits in any sort of PPR value, you know, so even in half. So like he gets a bump, but I think, you know, you just look at the high volume running backs are still going to be very important. And the hope would be the guys like the Josh Jacobs, the Joe Mixons, those guys that you're looking at the top that, you know, we're hoping to be 40 catch guys. They still stay in that range that I would, you know, look at them in non PPR more so than full PPR.
Okay, where does Michael Thomas go? In full PPR, I think people are very comfortable taking him 5th. What about in half PPR?
I'm taking him at the same place, but I think if you're taking Clyde ahead of Michael Thomas, you're taking Dalvin Cook, so that bumps him down to 7 in PPR for most people besides me on this podcast. I don't know, though, that I'm still taking him at 6 or 5.
I think the only other receiver after those guys that has a super high catch potential is Eckler. And so he, and we've talked about Eckler not coming near 90 catches, whatever he had last year. He's probably going to be closer to 60, which is still going to be better than maybe Miles Sanders, better than Joe Mixon, definitely better than Derrick Henry. So I might still take Eckler ahead of Michael Thomas. I would probably couch him at about eighth overall in a half PPR.
But like, here's a good example. Derrick Henry, I have projected to score 37 more fantasy points than Eckler in non-PPR. In full PPR, I have Eckler scoring 16 more fantasy points than Henry.
Mm-hmm.
But they're back-to-back in half PPR, and Henry has the edge.
Right, okay. And in non-PPR, is it just like running backs or king?
Yes. For me, in round one, that's how it is. Like, I think I have Michael Thomas 12th in non-PPR.
Okay. It obviously crazy. Makes a huge difference. Did anybody, by the way, end up with Davante Adams ahead of Michael Thomas in non-PPR?
No.
Nope.
No. Got Michael Thomas one. Okay. So, other formats. Let's talk about, like, three receivers versus two receivers. We did a draft last night with only two wide receivers and a flex, of course. But, Heath, how much do things change for you when you need to start three receivers and there's also a flex?
Yeah, I mean, like for me, in a full PPR league where you're starting three wide receivers and a flex, that makes wide receivers and running backs, that's the equalizer. They are, like, because you're talking about a situation where replacement level at running back might be 28 to 30 running backs and replacement level at wide receivers like 42 to 45 wide receivers. And so that, like, that makes the replacement cost much closer. And the fact that those wide receivers are also going to score more points than running backs. So I think that's, like, for me, it's not what happens when you have three wide receivers, because almost all of our leagues do. It's what happens when you only have two. And that's the point where I'm like, well, I'm just going to take a bunch of running backs then.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason, however many years ago, people started playing PPR and started playing three wide receiver leagues, because they wanted to elevate wide receivers' value to be closer to running backs.
Right. Right. That makes sense. And I went pretty running back heavy in our draft last night, which was only two wide receivers and a flex. Two running backs, two wide receivers and a flex. And I missed those leagues, quite frankly. I wish all of our leagues basically weren't three wide receivers, but I guess it's sign of the times.
Most people play, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's true. Maybe 60%? I'm not sure. I would love to know.
That would be most. So
yeah, well, but it's not we should ignore leagues that don't do that, you know?
No, but I think we can explain like why we think it's better to have more starting lineup spots, because like the most frustrating thing is when you've got three wide receivers ranked between 20 and 25 or 20 and 30 on your team, and you inevitably choose the wrong one every week.
What I would
prefer, honestly, is if we did just, you know, two flexes.
Yeah, that's we need a standard. We need to make that the standard.
But then we're letting people start four running backs.
So?
Yeah.
That's all right. Well, if you were
In PPR, you're not going to get, you know, four stud pass-catching running backs, you know. So then, you know, make people make that decision. You know, Preston Williams versus Latavius Murray, who you can start in your second flex.
You know, couldn't you also, if you wanted to do two running backs and two wide receivers and two flexes, why not do tiered PPR, where you can do running backs with half PPR and receivers and tight ends with full PPR, and that gives the advantage back to wide receivers?
I think the only thing is like, you know, we want to make things more complicated. I don't think a lot of people want to make things more complicated. I think a lot of people like to just look at the box score or the ticker and say, that guy's got me 20 points. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so if you're playing in a full PPR league with two running backs, two wide receivers, and two flex options, you think that greatly favors running backs?
In non-PPR?
No, full PPR.
In full PPR?
No, I don't think it favors running backs at all. I think I think you're going to end up seeing what you probably people would like to see, which is to play one of each. You know,
I'm only referencing, like, we had our half PPR auction that was set up just that way, except it was half PPR. Mm-hmm. And like great wide receivers were going for $6.
Is that just the depth of the position?
Well, when you only have to start two of them, yeah, I think so.
There is to me at least a pretty big difference in my mind, half PPR versus full PPR. You know,
which both directions though.
Yeah, it makes me want running backs more as a flex, I guess, or at least it makes me want better running backs. If I'm in a full PPR league that starts three receivers, whatever, I can get by with an okay RB2. If in a half PPR league, RB2 is much more valuable, much more important to me, much more of a priority. Would you guys agree with that?
Yep.
I think that's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's if you build your team with a lot of receivers and one running back early on, and you just accept the fact that, all right, I'll struggle a little bit at my second running back spot, but look at these amazing receivers that I have.
But that's much easier to do in full PPR than half PPR, right?
I mean, obviously. I think it's easier to do almost regardless of format.
More palatable, though, I mean, in full PPR.
Because PPR boosts up everybody. But, you know,
no,
for
it
all
boosts
the running
up,
backs,
it boosts up running backs more. It boosts up wide receivers more than running backs because they catch more passes.
I mean, that's what it boosts up everybody. You feel a lot better about, you know, I don't know.
Like the
receivers that can get you 5 for 50 or 5 for 60 each week.
It boosts up wide receivers first and foremost, right? So yeah. Ronald Jones, Dave, let's talk about Ronald Jones, right? I'm much happier with him in a half PPR league than obviously in a non PPR league, then half, then full. That makes sense.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, in a half PPR league, RB2 just becomes more of a priority than in a full PPR league. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. That's kind of an Acer fantasy tip, so we don't have to keep expanding on that. Let's do 10-team leagues versus 14-team leagues or versus 12-team leagues. Let's start with 10-team leagues. And Jamie, what changes for you in a 10-team league?
I'd like to have as many top-tier guys as I possibly can from the standpoint of, like, I would not be hesitant to go earlier on quarterback and certainly try and prioritize Kelce and Kittle and maybe even Andrews, the first two in the second round and Andrews in the third, because you're going to find so many good players at running back and wide receiver in the middle to the end of the draft that you wouldn't normally have in a 12-team league or larger. So, for example, I had a buddy of mine who was picking second in a 10-team PPR league, and he's like a lot of us would probably say, you know, wait on quarterback, wait on tight end. And he's like, you know, the way my league drafts and the way I've been doing some mock drafts, I'm seeing Kittle and Mahomes and Jackson when it gets back to me in round two. And I said, okay, well, take two of those guys, you know, if you can in rounds two and three, Kittle first, and then see if one of the quarterbacks get back to you, because I don't think anybody's taking both quarterbacks right after you pick. So he was certainly intrigued by that. And that's how I would play it, like that. You know, I would take Kittle because I think that's a good spot for him. And then I would take a chance in the third round on Mahomes or Jackson if they're sitting there.
Yeah, that makes sense. And in a 14-team league, do you take the opposite approach? Do you try to have more balance on your roster? Or like wait on the deep, you know, quarterback being so deep, tight end being fairly deep, like do you just wait on those positions? You're more likely to do that in a 14-team league?
I think you wait on one. I don't know if you want to wait on both.
Right.
You know, just because you could end up in a little bit of a tough spot. Mm-hmm. So in our draft, I don't know how you guys played it. I really haven't looked at your teams in the podcast league. But Todd and I, we took Dak Prescott in round five, and that's not something I do very often. So we took Dak, and then we took Gesicki. You know, so I was thrilled with that combination, and we took a second tight end, Chris Herndon. So, you know, I feel like I'm covered. I feel like we're covered at those two spots with an elite level quarterback and then two tight ends, I think, that have tremendous upside. So I wouldn't necessarily try and go early on both those spots, but I also wouldn't try and wait on both those spots unless you just happen to fall into some good players because quarterbacks fall. And I think if I saw the draft room last night, quarterbacks were falling, right? And I think I saw one of Heath's comments, like, did Drew Brees retire?
Yeah.
yeah. Brees fell really far.
I did the same thing, though. I think that's actually interesting, not waiting on both tight end and quarterback, because I took Kyler Murray and then I took Rob Gronkowski. Dave, how about you? 10-team versus 14-team.
It's basically exactly what Jamie said. You want to try and get a couple more superstars at the positions that you wouldn't necessarily prioritize when you're in a smaller league, because everybody's going to have a great team if there's only 10 managers or 8 managers. Everyone's going to have all-stars. So try and collect as many all-stars as you can, knowing that the depth is going to be there at every single position. I mean, every position will be pretty deep. Running back still the thinnest, but you're still going to be able to get to round 7 or 8 and see faces that you'll be happy to have on your team. And you don't get that in 14 team leagues. So maybe while you only pick one of the positions between quarterback and tight end to prioritize in a deep league, maybe you kind of put an extra emphasis on one of running back or wide receiver in those deeper leagues. Maybe you'll start your draft with two running backs, a wide receiver, and a quarterback in a 14-team league, and at least you've got some good pieces in place to build out a roster, because the depth is really going to get tested in those formats.
Does anybody think about the waiver wire when you draft? In other words, what is the waiver wire going to look like throughout the season? In a 10-team league, it's going to be pretty loaded, probably, particularly at quarterback, maybe everything but running back. Heath, in a 14-team league, especially at running back, it's going to be really tough. Do you think about that when you draft?
Well, I think it's a good case for taking more boom-bust players in a 10-team league and focusing on floor just a little bit more in a 14-team league. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's not going to be much on. That's one of the problems with a 10-team league is you can draft pretty bad and still get good players most weeks off the waiver wire.
Yeah, yeah. That's why you got to start more flexes, right? How many flexes are we going to have in the For the People League, which, by the way, you've ceded commissioner responsibility to me with?
Changing nothing.
Okay.
So whatever, if I remember correctly, it was two flexes and a super flex.
It was.
And it was half a point per first down. So it's going to be awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah, we did the 14-team podcast league last night. I don't know if you guys tried anything different. I did, because this is what I'm getting at. You know, in these 14-team leagues, and obviously deeper, I really kind of hate my team right now, but I'm built for the long haul, because I know it running back is impossible to find throughout the year. Especially, this is a fab league, so if one good one pops up, you know, on waivers, if there's an injury or something, there's going to be such aggressive bidding. So I wanted to put myself in a position where I had I drafted 5 running backs for my first 7 picks or something like that in a 14-team league. So my wide receiver 2 is Darius Slayton. I obviously am weak there. So that was a priority for me, because I'm sick and tired. Last year I had great wide receivers, crappy running backs, didn't make the playoffs. So I'm tired of not being able to find anything. If you have good running backs in a deep league, you can trade them. They have great trade value. So I wanted to give it a shot. We'll see how it works. It's a bit experimental. I don't know. Did any of you try anything in this 14-team league that might benefit our listeners?
I don't usually share teams. So, you know, it's probably not the best example, because I was trying to make the experience fun for my co-manager in Todd Rones. So, I'll give you just something in terms of player versus player. I haven't drafted Odell Beckham at all. And we had a conversation of Beckham versus Amari Cooper versus Terry McLaurin. I've drafted a lot of McLaurin, and I think the ceiling might be a little bit higher for him. But if Beckham's Beckham, he could be just amazing. And so I gave, Todd the choice, and he said, let's, take a chance on Beckham. Maybe so, because it's a 14-team league, and if he hits and he's great, then, he's got league-winning upside. But, other than that, I don't know if there was much different. There wasn't a much different approach. But again, it wasn't just me doing the drafting. So I don't know if that's the best basis of comparison.
We followed your strategy, Adam, where we wanted to get a decent amount of running backs. The bench really doesn't show it, but we did spend a lot of early capital. Our first two picks, we had the back-to-back picks, and we got Mixon and Drake back-to-back at 14-15. We were really, really excited about that.
This is a full PPR league, so everybody knows. Yep.
Right. Singletary was a pick later on, and Damian Harris was a pick later on. And honestly, I would have preferred if we had taken a few more running backs along the way, but we decided to fire a couple of fun shots toward the end of the draft when there weren't a lot of good running backs anyway. One of the things that I've been excited to do in our drafts and in drafts that, aren't for publication is just take value late. And a couple of examples of that. One is, Logan Thomas is a tight end, just in case he ends up doing well week one. Well, that's a guy that we've got on our bench. I don't know if he's got huge sleeper appeal, but it looks like he's the starting tight end for Washington. And, I'm sharing the team, like Jamie's sharing his team. I'm sharing mine with Joey. And Joey wanted Alshon Jeffrey for the exact same reason. Yeah. And I'm not an Alshon fan. I think that's been made pretty clear. But if we have to wait just a week or two for him to play, and Philadelphia doesn't have Jalen Reagor, and they're falling apart everywhere else, then maybe Alshon is good enough to be at least the number 3 receiver or a flex. and getting him with your last pick, you could do worse than that.
We had the same thing with Mike Williams. Todd wanted Mike Williams, and you know, I haven't drafted him very much at all. And he said, you know, hey, look, if he plays by week two, or you know, come October, he could be, you know,
sure,
a flex or a fourth receiver in a format like this.
Do you remember what round that was?
I know we took Van Jefferson last. I think it was the second to last round.
Perfect.
And I made a mistake. I took Chris Herndon in a different draft. I didn't take Herndon in this league. So I just took Gesicki at tight end. So I apologize. Right.
And if Williams doesn't pan out in the first couple of weeks, you're going to dump him. He'll probably be the most dumpable player you've got on your bench, and you'll find somebody else.
Yeah, him or Jefferson. But you have to take some swings. And, you know, Jeffrey falls in that category. I think Williams falls in that category. You know, I mean, you've seen these guys, you know, certainly as recently as last year for Williams, and we know what Jeffrey and Wentz mean to each other. So those are the type of guys that they may seem icky, but, you know, their roles in their offense could be decent. But it's more so you take these chances in either when you have more rounds or more players that you're competing against. And so those are the type of moves you have to make.
But to illustrate, you know, my point about why I took running backs, we did the draft last night. It's over. So here are, based on projections, some of the best running backs available for week one. Adrian Peterson, you could make a case he should be rostered here.
He should have been drafted for sure.
Lamar Miller, Justin Jackson, Gus Edwards, Cordarrelle Patterson. Maybe he could do something against Detroit. I'm just going to stop there. I mean, Ito
Jackson
Smith
and Peterson should have been drafted in this league.
Wide receiver, we've got, let's see, Greg Ward. This is really not helping my case. These wide receivers suck. DeeDee Westbrook, Cole Beasley, Danny Amendola, Josh Reynolds.
I mean, I think Adam,
I promise you, throughout the year, wide receivers will pop up that are that are good, that are going to get you 10 to 12 points and give you something, you know, if you're desperate.
But I think there's, you know, anytime it's a 14-team league, there's not going to be great players anywhere, you know, unless you have
except
just like a 3 or 4 man bench.
Quarterback, I'd say.
Right.
But even then, I mean, you know, unless Heath took him, you know, Gardner Minshew may be the best guy on waivers.
Phillip Rivers, Tyrod Taylor, they're on waivers.
I would say Minshew or Tyrod. You know, those are going to be the two that most.
Minshew is available. How about that? All right.
I think the counterpoint just that Ben Gretsch would say to what you were saying, Adam, is you're right. Like, there are more wide receivers that are going to pop up that will score you 10 points for sure. There probably will not be a league winning wide receiver that pops up on the waiver wire. There's more likely to be a running back.
Yeah.
But I think what Ben would have done in this scenario is he would have taken his he would have taken probably 4 wide receivers with his first 5 picks, let's just say, right? I mean, we've seen him do that a lot. And then he would have just started throwing a lot of, I'll pull up his team. He would have just started throwing a lot of capital at running back, except I know I ruined him twice by taking Antonio Gibson and Boston Scott, which I was happy to do. But yeah, like looking at his team, he's got Kamara. Okay. Then I'm going to guess his next 4 picks were Mike Evans, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquise Brown, and Zach Ertz.
You wanted me to confirm this?
No, I don't know the draft order, but I mean, I can see it. And then he's got Christian Kirk on his bench, Mecole Hardman on his bench.
Oh my gosh.
Surprise.
He took Christian Kirk over Julian Edelman, which is good because he kept saying that.
Why is that bad?
Because Julian Edelman went 92nd overall in a 14-team full PPR league. He was the best value. He was on the board for way too long. But I digress. Okay, so back to the matter at hand, how to draft in different formats. What have we not gotten to? 4-point per passing touchdown versus 6-point per passing touchdown. How much does that change things, Dave?
It's the question, I'm sorry.
4-point versus 6-point.
Well, it obviously downgrades quarterback even more, and it upgrades those quarterbacks that are going to run and pick up rushing yardage and rushing touchdowns, because those are still going to count for 6.
Yeah. Do you take Lamar Jackson ahead of Patrick Mahomes in 4-point?
Yes.
Yep.
Do you take Lamar Jackson in round 2 in a 4-point per passing touchdown league?
Nope.
You could. You could take him in late round 2.
In round 3?
Only in 2 quarterback leagues.
Good luck getting him in round 2. Let's do a fun exercise.
I don't know if that's good.
Patrick Mahomes James Conner. Let's just do those two. Okay, Patrick Mahomes or James Conner in different formats. In a 10-team league, Patrick Mahomes or James Conner?
Conner.
Mahomes.
Mahomes.
In a 12-team league, Patrick Mahomes or James Conner?
Conner.
Conner. Conner.
And in a 14-team league, it's Conner?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Four point per passing touchdown league. Patrick Mahomes or Tyler Lockett?
Lockett. Well, how many teams?
12.
Lockett.
I'd probably still go Mahomes.
Mahomes.
Dave, 6 point per passing touchdown league, Mahomes or Lockett? Ooh, I didn't think this would be so tough.
No.
Oh, you love Lockett. I forgot.
Yeah, I do. I think I might have taken Mahomes over Lockett in the draft we just did, though.
Okay, so I'm just going to say Mahomes there.
Sure.
All right, how about leagues with big play bonuses? Do you have any advice for those leagues?
You should target players who make big plays.
Such as?
Tyler Lockett.
Is Tyreek Hill
yeah.
better than Davante Adams and Michael Thomas?
No. I mean, that's the thing. And these, like, I think we probably are not going to do a good job on something like that because it's entire, like, is 20 yards a big play? Is 30 yards a big play? Is it 1 point? Is it 2 points? Is it 4 points? Is it six? There's
fair
no
enough.
Set standard for that type of league at all. And I kind of despise them.
Same. Oh, I hate them. also, I don't really know how
except
many.
When your guys catch like 50 yard touchdowns.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. Any return yard specialists that we need to know about?
Mecole Hardman.
Yep. What's his name in Harris in New Orleans?
Mm-hmm.
He led the league in return yards last year and just does nothing other than that.
Is Cordarrelle Patterson going to be returning again for the Bears, returning kicks?
They'd be stupid not to.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about using him as running back.
Right, that's why I asked, but
he's so might good. Be their solution week one with Montgomery out.
Jakeem Grant.
Yep.
That's a great one.
Tyler Lockett gets a little boost. He won't do it full time, but he does it enough to where it helps him a little.
Heath, how do you approach a two-kicker league? He quits.
He quits the league immediately.
He leaves, yeah.
Who's more upset about kickers, you or Jake Seeley?
Jake Seeley. You're asking Heath, but the answer is Jake Seeley.
That's his brand.
Yeah, Jake is more vocal about his discontent.
All right.
So we have the draft-a-thon mm-hmm. that he's a part of, and he did the draft with us. And so Jake, which I relented on this one in the IDP draft, he said if we were going to play it out, he wouldn't do it unless I took kickers out of it. So I did just because I didn't want to deal with the headache.
Come on.
But then in this draft last year, this for our draft-a-thon, we call it the telethon draft last year, he got into a discussion with Bryant McFadden, former NFL player, two-time Super Bowl champion, because Bryant took Greg Zuerlein, I think, in like round 10. And you know, Jake was making fun of him.
His head exploded. Right.
And so Jake said he would only play in the league he said he would like to play in a league where he didn't have to start a kicker. He would just take a zero with that spot. So everybody else could start a kicker. He would take a zero because he's actually won a league doing this. So now he just, in leagues where he has to play a kicker, I think he does this all the time. I know he did it with our draft. He drafted a kicker that he will not play. So he just
why?
Took, and I don't know.
Hey, come on. That's so strange. I love Jake, but that is so weird.
Hey, I'll take the 3 points against him. I don't care.
I don't know. That's strange. I would hate to, you know, need to get into the playoffs and Jake has to beat this other opponent and I'm, you know, and I need to win my league and Jake loses by 3 points because he didn't start a kicker. Like that would be, it's not competitive. I don't know. Well, whatever. I'm not trying to insult Jake. I just don't get it. I don't know why people are so upset about having kickers. You know, they're Kickers are people. We like them. All right, we got to do some bold predictions
like
here.
If it's your league, like Heath can do what he wants to as the commissioner of his league, which is fine. But if you get invited to a league, plays kickers or play a kicker.
Play a kicker, big deal. Hey, but speaking of leagues, right? Draft season's here. If your league can't make picks in person this year, we've partnered with Google Meet to help you connect. With easy-to-join video calls, your entire league can draft face-to-face from around the world. Post on your league's message board and ask your commissioner to set up a Meet video call for your draft. A Meet link can be created from your commissioner's desktop league homepage or a draft setup page. Players can safely join on their laptop, mobile device, Nest Hub Max, and even cast the meeting to their TV. So good luck in your drafts, and this is an awesome way. If you're playing on CBS, we're teaming up with Google Meet. This is a great way for you to get that in-person feel. Time for some bold predictions. First three team names for LaVisca Chenault: Live in LaVisca Loca, LaViscus Flow, and LaViscuit for the Biscuit. Okay, great. Thank you, everybody, for your LaVisca Chenault team names. Heath, give us round two of bold predictions.
Round two of bold predictions. Mm-hmm. Man, sorry, I didn't. No, I had my second one, but then I think Jamie's second one is like this. So I'm trying to change it real quick. I'm sorry.
Okay, Jamie, you want to go?
Yeah.
You can use Deshaun Watson. I'll take his guy. Will Fuller, if he plays 16 games, will be a top 15 wide receiver.
Top 15. Okay. Will Fuller, top 15. Heath?
Deshaun Watson will set career highs in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and fantasy points.
Wow. Even the dogs like that one. Dave?
First of all, if Will Fuller plays 16 games, he'll be like a top 12 receiver and unicorns will exist. I'll say Ronald Jones gets 1,400 total yards and 10 touchdowns.
Speaking of unicorns.
That would be awesome. That would be great. Dave, I'm rooting for that one big time. Who's got more? Dave, you got another one?
I got one more.
All right.
Tyrod Taylor will connect with Keenan Allen for the second most yardage he's had with a receiver in his career. It's going to be 850 yards with 5 touchdowns.
That's not a very productive player. Keenan Allen, 850 and 5. Heath, round two.
It's good news for Austin Eckler. This is round three for me.
Round three.
This is round three. And I'll say Hayden Hurst will be the number three tight end and score more fantasy points than Austin Hooper ever did in Atlanta.
I love it.
Okay.
Jamie?
I got to go to radio after this. But my third one will be that Chris Herndon and Blake Jarwin will be this year's Darren Waller and Mark Andrews. So two top five tight end.
Wow. All right. We got some, bye Jamie. We got some bold predictions.
Gotta go. Bye.
We got some bold predictions from the listeners. I've been trying to look this up for so long and, I finally found it. So let me just tell everybody, in 2019 in non PPR leagues, looking at the top 36 players in non PPR, there were 19 running backs. In half PPR, there were 16 running backs. In full PPR, only 13 running backs were top 36 players, and 6 of the top 7 were running backs. So it was like running back, crazy running backs, then mostly wide receivers.
Wow. So like this year, maybe it's like the top 5 or 6 picks should be running backs, and then we should go crazy on wide receivers.
That's one way to look at it. Yeah. But remember don't forget how bad the round two wide receivers were last year. Odell Beckham, Juju Smith-Schuster, Antonio Brown, like they were terrible last year. But yeah, only 13 running backs in the top 36 in full PPR compared to 19 running backs in non-PPR. Wide receivers in non-PPR, 16 wide receivers were top 36, but only 3 of the top 15 in non-PPR. Whereas there were, 6 of the top 13 in full PPR were wide receivers. So again, wide receivers, non-PPR, 16 wide receivers were top 36, half PPR, 19, full PPR, 20. Big difference in terms of scoring. Mm-hmm. Here's what we've got from our listeners. From Andrew Patrick, DJ Moore will be top 5 PPR this year.
I have it ranked that way. It's not bold.
I think it's bold even if you do have it ranked that way.
From David Mendelson, CeeDee Lamb will be a borderline number one wide receiver.
Now is that bold or is that preposterous?
I think it's pretty preposterous.
I think it's preposterous too, but I've been moving CeeDee Lamb up in my rankings. I'm starting to get really excited about him.
From, I find it interesting that we seem to have erased the concerns about rookie wide receivers.
You want to know why? It's not all rookie wide receivers, but in the case of Lamb, and I would say Judy, and in the case of a couple of running backs, Chenault. I guess maybe just Edwards-Helaire, and maybe Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins, like these guys, they were really great prospects coming out. They were really prepared for the next level, and they're proving it.
And also, like, not as excited as we get about Chenault or Judy or Lamb or Ruggs or whoever, nobody has them ranked in the top 36 wide receivers, and no one's drafting them in the first seven rounds. So, like, it's not like anyone's actually – you do?
I might take CeeDee Lamb toward the end of round seven in a full PPR. And I'm moving Amari Cooper down.
Okay.
Do you know that the Cowboys website, someone ranked all the receivers from training camp and they put CeeDee Lamb number one?
I'm very excited for his career. I think he's going to be just tremendous.
I agree. I'm so glad I got him in Dynasty.
From Jord, Antonio Gibson is this year's Miles Sanders second half breakout.
Whew. I love Antonio Gibson too.
I bet he looks a lot like Miles Sanders in the first half.
You don't think he could get 4 to 5 catches per game? Remember, he's not a traditional running back.
But Dave, I think for him to be a breakout star in the second half, he's also going to have to get the carries.
Right. So something bad would have to happen to Adrian Peterson and maybe even Peyton Barber for that to happen. Like I've said all along, I think that his game is going to be catches and what he does as a receiver. And I would put him under 80 carries on the year.
Let's rapid fire this from Nick Riley. Nick Chubb, number one fantasy running back.
That's bold. I don't think it's going to happen.
Wolf, Adam Trautman finishes weeks 8 through 16 as tight end 8.
I like Trautman, and I don't like the guy in front of him, so maybe.
From Tyler, Gallup, top 15 wide receiver. Fant, top 4 tight end. DeAndre Swift, top rookie running back.
I like the Gallup one a lot.
Yeah, that's the only one I like.
AJ Green, top 12 wide receiver, and it's not that bold. I mean, it sort of is, but...
It kind of is, right?
We got better. We can talk about better ones.
Yeah.
Diggs, top 5 wide receiver.
That's not happening.
Zach Moss is going to mirror Miles Sanders' rookie season.
That's more likely than Antonio Gibson. You're drafting Moss before Gibson. I think that goes without saying.
Ronald Jones still sucks. This shouldn't be bold, but listening to the show, I can't believe the love he's getting.
A lot of people feel that way because they remember what he did last year and they're not paying attention to what he's done in the last 5-6 months.
Wasn't that bad last year, though. That's the thing.
But he wasn't getting the opportunities. Heath has outlined this marvelously.
Oh, no, I get that. But it's not like he sucked his rookie year. He didn't suck last year.
There were still
nice of a word for his rookie year.
Right. There were still things he sucked at last year. Like he was really good at certain things as well. I think like the Ronald Jones sucks thing would be week one, he whiffs on a blitz pickup and then drops a pass. But even in that case, he's still probably a top 30 running back.
I'm going to call it a day.
That's not why we're drafting him.
I'm going to call it a day here, guys. I'm going to wrap it up. And we are going to talk to everybody on Twitch and HQ tonight for the draftathon. And tomorrow, also on Twitch tomorrow night, but tomorrow we'll have a brand new podcast for you. We're going to do a live mock draft with listeners. For Dave, for Jamie, for Heath, I'm Adam. See you at the draftathon. Have a good one, everybody. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.